Well, Heavenly Father, we once again come before you, thanking you for the blessing of your word, and praying that as we stop now to consider it, that you would open us up to your word, that you would open our hearts and open our minds, that we might faithfully receive what you have given to us. And help us to receive it, whether it shows us our sin, that we're falling short, then help us to receive it, Lord, when it displays to us your grace and mercy, the salvation that you have provided to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, as we continue along in our series on the Lord's Prayer, we now come to the fourth petition of the prayer. And when teaching his followers how to pray, Jesus instructed them to say, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, as you look at that, and I know you're familiar with it, I'm sure the meaning of this petition seems pretty obvious to most of you. In this petition, we are simply asking that God would provide for us. We're asking that he would take care of us on a daily basis. We're asking him to provide for us bread, but not only bread, everything that we need to sustain us in our life here in this world. Now, as you look at this petition, some of you probably also believe that this is something you already do. Perhaps you think that you already bring your needs to the Lord in prayer. You believe that you already trust God to provide for you on a day-to-day basis. And for this reason, you may wonder, well, why do we need to take this much time to talk about these few words that seem so plain and that seem so obvious to us? However, even those of us with a strong commitment to the Lord, if we think about it, we struggle in this area. No matter what we claim to believe, quite often in life, we are not truly looking to the Lord for his provision. We instead look to other sources to provide for us the things that we need. Now, while I was going to seminary, I served as an intern pastor for a small church plant in the Twin Cities. And it was a church plant that had been there for only a few years by the time that I arrived. And one of the things that I did, one of my primary responsibilities while I was there, was to begin a young adults ministry. Now, we began this ministry with only four of us, but because we had some young people who were willing and eager to reach out to their friends, this ministry quickly began to thrive. And even though we began with a church of only 17 people, before long we had a young adults ministry alone of 20 people. So it took off pretty quickly. But in that group, I became pretty good friends with a guy who had been attending from early on, just as this got going. And he quickly became a leader in the young adults ministry and eventually in the church itself. And one of the things that stands out in my mind as I think about him, one of the things I remember most about him, is that whenever he prayed, whether it was just with me or whether it was with a big group, he always took a moment and thanked God for giving him food and drink. Now, I never said anything to him, but after a while, you know, after a period of a couple of years, this became a little bit annoying. You got to remember, I'm human too, but it became a little bit annoying. And honestly, in my mind, I began to think, this is just a little bit ridiculous. I thought that, you know, he was offering this prayer simply out of habit. You know, we all develop these habits, the way that we speak, and this happens also in our prayer life. I began to think that he offered this prayer only because it gave him something to say, you know, kind of like a space filler when we get nervous. It was just so routine that in my mind, I couldn't understand how this could possibly be a sincere prayer. Now, don't get me wrong. I believed at the time, as I do now, that it's important to thank God for even the most basic of our blessings. But this isn't something I did every time I prayed. And I prayed for many things. I thanked God for many things on a daily basis. And I just thought in my own mind that, you know, he should pray about some other things too. He could thank God for some other things rather than offering up this one line time after time. But the more I thought about it, the more I began to realize that the problem was my attitude and not his. His faith seemed genuine, so I really had no reason to doubt the sincerity of his prayer. His prayers, again, always sounded very sincere. So why should I doubt the fact that he was sincerely grateful for just these very simple blessings that God gave to him in life? Why should I doubt that he sincerely just wanted to thank God for taking care of him, that he had a heartfelt desire to do so? Why should I doubt the fact that he was looking to the Lord to take care of him and to provide for him? If I truly trusted in God to provide for my daily needs, I should have had more of a desire to express thanks, even for the simple things, when I come before God in prayer. And in the same way, we should be constantly thankful. And we should be constantly thankful because we are completely dependent upon the Lord for everything that we need in life. None of us would be here apart from the Lord. None of us would be here apart from his power. And we would not have the things that we need apart from his provision. And we can see this as we look throughout Scripture. For example, we read in Genesis, way back in the beginning of the Bible, how God created all things. We're told how he created the heavens and the earth and how he created everything in them. We're told that he made the earth and the water. We're told how he made the plants and the animals. We're told how he made the sun and the moon and the stars. We're told how he created man from the dust of the earth, breathing into his nostrils the breath of life. We're told how he took the rib from the first man and used that to fashion the very first woman. And again, what we realize as we read through the creation account is that none of us would be here apart from the Lord. And not only did God make Adam and Eve and get everything going, putting everything into motion in the beginning, we also find in Scripture that he has made each one of us, that we too are his creation. We're told in Psalm 139 that God has knit us together within our mother's womb. So, as I've shared with you before, we're not simply the result of a biological process that God put in place centuries ago. Our being, our existence in this world is not simply the result of the birds and the bees. The simple fact of the matter is that we were made, that we were fashioned by God himself. We're told in Colossians that all things not only were made by him, but that all things continue to hold together because of him. Starting in verse 16 of that chapter, we read this: "For by him," and it's talking about Jesus, "for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things," and then that last part, "and in him all things hold together." So we learn from this that apart from him, apart from Jesus, nothing would continue to exist. Apart from Jesus, everything would cease to be. We're also told in Scripture that God is the one who feeds us. We're told that he is the one who provides for our daily needs. And he does this not only for his people, he does this not only for the righteous, he does it for all people. As Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, "For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." And so as we live in this world, whether we believe in him or not, God is the one who takes care of our daily needs. In Psalm 104, this is a little longer one, we read this: "You make springs gush forth in the valleys, they flow between the hills. You give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine and bread to strengthen man's heart." So once again, we see that God provides everything that's needed by every living creature within his creation. And again, because of this, we know and we acknowledge that we are dependent upon him for each and everything that we need. We can provide none of these things for ourselves, and for this reason, we must look to him and we must trust him on a daily basis. And one last passage I'm going to show you in order to bring this point home is found in Deuteronomy 8, starting in verse 11. And in it, we read this: "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant as he swore it to your fathers, as it is this day." In this passage, God was warning the people of Israel as he was about to bring them into the promised land. And it's a warning that we are not to forget him in times of prosperity. We're reminded that it's he who has given everything to his people. As he spoke to Israel, he's telling them they could not rightfully claim that they had earned the things that they possessed. They could not claim that they had attained them by their own efforts. God reminded them that it was he who had given them the power to gain wealth. And for this reason, everything they had, and this is true for us also, so everything that we have is a gift from his hand. And this, you see, is a mistake that we often tend to make. You know, and even though, yes, our nation has gone through periods of recession and we've gone through periods of job loss and just a bad economy, but even then, the fact remains that we live in a very prosperous land. We are much better off than pretty much the people of every other nation on the face of this earth. And because of this, because of the prosperity that we enjoy, we often tend to act and we often tend to think as though we have produced the wealth that we possess. We act as though we have attained it by our own abilities. We act as though we have attained it by our own efforts. And once again, we fail to recognize that everything we have received is a gift from God's hand. And because of this, not only do we fail to thank him, but we fail to depend upon him for his continued provision. Instead of trusting in God, most of us, we have a tendency to trust in ourselves. And we have to face the fact that we live in a nation of very independent people. We live in a nation of very stubborn people. We live in a nation where people love to do things by themselves. We live in a nation where we are more than willing to do things to help others in their time of need, but we're unwilling to ask for help when the need is our own. We like to think that if we work hard enough, we can do anything. We like to believe that if we work hard enough, we can accomplish anything. We like to think that we can pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Now, hard work is good, and I'm not going to try to tell you not to work hard. But the problem with this way of thinking is that we can't pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. As we have already seen, we owe our very existence to God. Everything that we have has been given to us by God. We have produced nothing for ourselves, and it's impossible for us to do so. It's all a gift of his grace. It's all a gift of his mercy. Just as we read earlier from Lamentations 3, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So again, everything we have, it's a demonstration of the mercy of God. It's a demonstration of God's faithfulness to us as his people. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of this prayer, when I think of this prayer that God will give to us this day our daily bread, the people of Israel come to mind. You may remember how after God brought them out of Egypt, he led them into the desert. And I don't know how many of you have seen the desert or spent any time in the desert. I know Carla has because she just got back with a bit of a tan. But it's a difficult place in which to survive. Now, I grew up in Iowa. I went to college in Iowa. I went to seminary in Minnesota. And I traveled a little bit as a child, but not super extensively. And the first time I saw the desert was when I was traveling out to San Diego to take my first call out there. And it was simply amazing. Because when you go east of San Diego, if any of you have spent any time out there, you first come to the mountains. And these mountains, although they are not the tallest that you'll find, they're beautiful. They're full of life. There are trees and bushes, and there are lakes, and there are ponds. But then you go down the other side of the mountains. You go down to the east side of the mountains, and it's another world. You get past the mountains, and everything is dry and barren. Everything is brown. There's nothing to be seen for miles and miles around. And you know it's extremely hot in the desert as well. The cool ocean breeze that characterizes San Diego, it does not make it past the mountains. And when I've gotten out of my car in the summer months, it's hard to breathe once you get out. And I know people always say it's a dry heat. And I don't care. 115 is hot, no matter how dry it is. You drive down the highway and you see that mirage out in the distance. You're driving down and it almost looks like there's an ocean spreading out in front of you. But once you get there, there's no water. It's nothing but dry, brown dirt. And when I picture this, I haven't been to the Middle East, but when I picture this, I can only imagine how hard it would be to find food and water in the desert if you were stuck there. It's hard to imagine how anyone could survive, and I know some people do, but it has to be a job. But then when you think about the case of Israel, when you think about the fact that they were wandering around with more than a million people, when you consider the fact that these people were walking around with all of their livestock, all of a sudden it becomes an even greater problem. And it didn't take the people of Israel long to figure out their need. But even though they were incapable of providing for themselves, what we see is that the Lord took care of them. We read how he miraculously provided water for them. And then we read how he provided something for them called manna. Now the word manna literally means what is it? Because when the people saw it, they had no clue what this was. But manna was a type of bread. And every morning when the Israelites rose, it was lying on the ground and the people would go out and they would gather it. But at the Lord's command, they could gather only enough for that day. If they tried to save it overnight, it began to stink. It became full of maggots. And so in a situation like this, the people literally had to depend upon God for their daily bread. And God provided for them in this way. He provided for them in this way until they entered into the promised land. Now, even though you and I have everything we need, most of us, we do not think of God's provision as a miracle like this one. But it is. It's a miracle because, as we've already seen, were it not for him, were it not for his power, we would not have anything. Without him, without his power, we would lack the things that we need to survive in this world. Without him, we wouldn't even be here right now. We would not even exist. And we must recognize that everything we have has been given to us by God. We must recognize his provision as the miracle that it is. And we must look to him day to day for his continued provision as well. Now, I've hit on it a little bit, but I want to attack this a little harder. Another thing that stands out in this petition, and in the example of Israel that I just mentioned, is that we must depend upon him for his provision each and every day of our life. And in this lies another problem for you and for me. We discover a problem because most of us don't truly depend upon him from day to day. Now think of it this way. Most of us, well, really all of us who have a job, we get paid, right? We get a paycheck. But we don't get paid by the day. We get paid by the week, or we get paid twice a month, or some people even get paid once a month. But even though we may depend upon the Lord for that paycheck, we don't truly depend upon Him from day to day. We don't need to depend upon Him because we have enough money sitting in the bank to cover our expenses for a certain time period until we receive that next paycheck. And the same thing is true when it comes to food. Most of us, we don't purchase food on a daily basis. We may shop once a week. We may shop once every couple of weeks. Our cabinets are full. Our refrigerator is full. Our freezer is full. And for this reason, we don't feel that we are in need on a daily basis. But even if we get paid enough to support ourselves for a week or two, and even if we're wealthy enough that we don't have to earn another penny for the rest of our life, the fact remains that we are dependent upon the Lord every day. And if we have enough food to feed ourselves for an extended period of time, we are still dependent upon God each and every day. No matter how much money we have in the bank, and no matter how much food we have stashed away in the freezer, we can never be certain what needs will come with each new day. And for this reason, we must always look to Him. As I mentioned earlier, we have all seen several downturns in the economy over the years. Before these events, and I've seen this in people in my congregations, there are retirees who thought that they were okay. They thought they were set. They thought they had enough money to cover their retirement. And even if they were not living in the lap of luxury, they knew that they had enough money saved up to sustain them for many, many years. But in just a short period of time, their savings dropped. And overnight, their investments tanked. And many of them found that they didn't have enough money. Others who were on the verge of retirement discovered that they had to work longer. With the downturn, they realized they didn't have enough money to live on. And for this reason, they had to work a few more years. They had to save a little bit more. And so again, whether we have a little or a lot, we have to depend upon the Lord each and every day. Every day that our needs are taken care of, this is evidence of the grace of God. It shows His concern for us. It shows His love for an undeserving and for an ungrateful people. And as we offer this petition of the Lord's Prayer, as we ask that He will give us this day our daily bread, we are expressing this ongoing dependence upon Him. We're acknowledging that we need Him to take care of us. We are acknowledging that we need Him to provide for us. And we are asking that He'll give us what we need to sustain our life right here and right now. And as we consider this reality, I think that we can all see where we have fallen short. I think we can all see our failure to depend upon God, to rely upon Him on a daily basis. And this is something we must confess to the Lord, seeking His mercy. And we must also ask Him for grace that we might begin to approach life in this way. We must ask God for the grace that we might recognize our ongoing dependence upon Him. We must ask for His grace that we might recognize His continual provision. And we must ask Him for the grace that we might look to Him and trust in Him each and every day for all that we need. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You again for Your continual provision. And we also acknowledge as we come before You that we often fail to trust in You. Our tendency is to rely upon ourselves, in some cases is to rely upon other people. But we ask that You would forgive us for where we have fallen short, and that You would teach us, and that You would implant within us a sense of that dependence. And that we would look to You and that we would trust in You for everything we need, from our basic needs here in this world to the very salvation that You have provided for us. So once again, be at work within us, and we ask that You would truly give us this day our daily bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.